Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York City. And I am sitting here at my bright red desk on the Upper East Side of Manhattan. And I am joined tonight by Mark.
Mark Wolves, also in Manhattan, over on the west side of town by the Hudson River.
And what we do here at Access Astrology is we meet up every week on the Internet in a radio blog show, such fun that there are such things in the world these days. And we talk about the aspects of the week ahead and how it feels energetically, how to use it wisely or not so wisely if you choose to be unwise. We're simply going to give you information and to share our love of astrology and to take calls from listeners and just kind of go forward. And hopefully Heather will be joining us soon. And we will, in the meantime, Mark and I will commence without her to talk about what's going on. So, Mark, what's your excitement in the week ahead? What did you notice?
Well, we
can talk about the eclipses that just finished, too. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Quiet.
I noticed you said we help people use the energies wisely or not so wisely. It didn't occur to me, but we could really tell people how to make big trouble. We try not to, though.
We try not to, right? Astrological magic, you know.
Right.
How to cause trouble in the world around you. Right. I like that. Maybe we can have the trouble show. We can go, okay.
Yeah, exactly.
How do you cause astrological trouble?
It's a quiet week, though, we're looking at here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of, like the slow part of a baseball game.
Yes.
Watch the pitcher and catcher throw the ball there.
The seventh inning stretch, so to speak. Or when the part where you feel very comfortable getting up and going to the bathroom because nothing is happening.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's really quiet out there, and I guess because there's been so much excitement, eclipses, and, Pluto, Uranus square, and Mercury retrograde, and then direct, so much going on, and things changing signs, weather sign changes recently. So it's time that we just step back and look and see what it kind of soup it's started up and see what we can do with it now.
Right. We're going to add a little curry,
kinda,
or are we going to
watching the pot on the stove and saying, we should have put more carrots.
Yeah, a few more caramelized onions. I think that sounds like Heather arriving. Heather, are you
there?
Yes,
this is Heather dashing in from across town.
Cool.
From across Minneapolis, Twin Cities area today.
Cool.
And
okay.
How are you all?
We're good. So say who you are and where you're from. You're in Minneapolis. You're far, far away.
I'm in Minneapolis, yes.
In the cold.
Minneapolis, St. Paul area.
Thank you.
Enjoying the busyness and power of today's Mercury, Venus, Saturn, all parallel, all 7 degrees apart from one another.
Mm-hmm.
Got a lot done today. How about you two?
Yeah. We were both talking about how it was not a lot of stuff this week in the heavens, but a great week to get things cooking and done. After all the excitement of the eclipses and the Mercury retrograde, this was just kind of like, okay, sit down and do it, and get it moving and cooking. I mean, in my case, it literally did cook. I did Brussels sprouts. I did curry soup. I did potatoes. I did Christmas shopping. I cleaned out the refrigerator. And I did that all in between client readings. I was like, zoom, 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 zoom. So,
isn't that amazing?
Yeah,
it was very zoom, zoom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mars in Capricorn is really beginning to pick up speed now.
Mm-hmm.
It's moving forward, but with Mercury retrograde, it was hard to really tap into that.
Right.
But with Mars in Capricorn and its sign that it loves, and Venus,
and it's out of bounds,
Scorpio,
so it has extra power.
Yeah.
Like super Mars. Mm-hmm.
And Venus in Scorpio giving us, Venus, Mercury, and Saturn all in Scorpio giving us focus.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we've got Mercury moving back into that square with Neptune next week, which I can really feel coming back again, the third one in 6 weeks. You can really feel that Mars in Capricorn, just structural, time to get things done, get to it now.
Mm-hmm.
And it really feels like this is a week to put in effort in the real work of our lives, whatever that real work is.
And that will help catapult us forward, especially because last week we had two new cycles start with Mars and Pluto meeting up and with Venus and Saturn meeting up. So they both kicked kick butt. And Mars and Venus right now are in a really positive working sextile with each other. So although there's not a lot going on up above, everybody's cooperating and working well, which is always helpful. And, of course, we're done with the eclipses, which is great. And I also noticed there's a lot of quindicheles, which I don't usually talk about because, you know, there are health aspects, but I got an email from somebody who was going on about the quindicheles. I'm like, man, there's a lot. But a lot of times after there's an eclipse, and this was a pretty powerful set of eclipses because it was in Scorpio and Taurus, and then then the next was air and fire, which accelerates us, but we don't necessarily feel grounded. So this is a week where you can maybe get a little bit of a cold. So you want to kind of just take care of yourself and support energetically, you know, going to bed early and getting yourself good night's sleep after you do all that exercise and work during the day. Because there are a lot of health aspects with the quindicheles and the inconjuncts.
And, you know, even though Mars supports our immune system quite strongly last week while Mars and Pluto were conjunct, that Mercury-Neptune square can lower the immune system again.
Right.
And it may leave us feeling a little permeable and, you know, with our... So if we're feeling driven by the Saturn, but we may feel, you know, just need to support our immune system while this aspect finishes.
And also, I think with the Mercury hitting that north node one more time too, because he's three times in that north node, so he goes in there again this week. And it's while he likes Scorpio, in the sense of he's secretive and he's learning all sorts of cool stuff and he's having a great time, he also it's mucus, bodily fluids, it's you know kind of like dripping, you know. So I was thinking all the water, lots of water. So. So, any other thing you noticed about the week, Mark?
About this week, not too much. I guess sometime around now, Ceres is sliding back into Gemini, right?
Yep, she goes back this week. Midweek, I think.
Retrograde, she's at 0-0-3 at the moment, so she's very close to going back.
He's like, I don't want to be
again, that'll ask us to nurture our lungs and our immune system just in time for cold and flu season.
And she's also, when she goes back into Gemini, she's also out of bounds, as is Mars. So the two of them are kind of both out of bounds opposite each other, although Ceres is it's a little out of sign at this point or out of orb. But
you want to define the out of bounds again one more time?
Out of bounds. Somebody had written me and said, what does out of bounds mean? It sounds exactly what it means. It means that the planets... Normally, the sun has the sun follows this path called the ecliptic around the Earth, comes up to 23 Cancer in summer in the northern hemisphere, and that's winter in the south. Then it goes down to the equator, then it goes down to 23 Capricorn, which is where it's heading now for the northern people, and that makes it summer in the south, southern hemisphere. And so the 23-27, which is the bounds of the sun, meaning as far as it goes before the solstice, the standing of the station, the stationing of the sun for 3 days. Well, sometimes planets can go past that. And when they do, they tend to be a little wild and crazy. So an out of bounds in baseball is a good thing. It's a home run, right? It goes over the fence. Everybody cheers, rah, rah. So it's very productive. It's a high scorer. It's really go for it. Get them, rah, rah. But on a bad day, out of bounds is the ball going off over into the stands and hitting somebody in the head and them having to be carried out of the baseball stadium. So it can be really good or really bad, but it's really, really of whatever it is. So in this case, Mars.
It feels like it's in its own different game. I always think of that the bounds is describing the playing field, and when they're out of bounds, they're just in a different game. They're in their own way.
Yeah, they're home run. They can also be home run planets. Like right now, Mars is really working. So you were like, I got all this stuff done. Well, Mars is out of bounds until Monday the 10th. And Ceres is out of bounds now, and she's in Cancer. So that's why everybody's kind of feeding a lot, you know. I'm feeling like they really need to eat food, or they really are feeling a little extra need for nurturing that little extra piece of cheesecake or whatever.
The
fourth piece of pumpkin pie. I had a great pumpkin pie the other day. It was graham cracker crust. It was really good. It was really delicious. But anyway, Ceres out of bounds definitely does that. And Mars is opposite it. So the two of them are fighting. It's also fighting with the nurturing principle, meaning you're going to want to not nurture yourself because the planets are arguing and they don't always support it. So Sirius goes back into Gemini on December 4th at 4:13 in the morning. So that's tomorrow. Tomorrow morning, 8 hours from now, 6 hours from now. It's definitely a kind of thing. The other thing is Astraea goes into Pisces, and Astraea is a health planet, so she's also fluid running, lots of mucus stuff, so always good to, and that also happens on December 4th.
I was looking tonight, and in the morning, if you look up in the sky, you can see Venus, Saturn and Mercury all beautifully lined up if you get up before sunrise. But tonight, Jupiter was hovering right near a very bright star, and I think that was either Aldebaran or was it Alcyone? Do you know which one it's closest to?
Oh, I don't know.
Right now?
Let me look.
What degree?
It was really beautiful. It was really beautiful in the night sky. And Mars and Jupiter is at 11 Gemini.
Hang on, I've got my...
And it was close, not right next to it, but, within, if you were to hold up your finger, a couple fingers apart from it. And it was glowing. You couldn't miss Jupiter because it's so visible right now.
My stellarium is behaving badly. Hang on, let me...
Yeah.
Saying my stellarium's not in the usual place. Really? I want my stellarium.
It's really helpful for anybody who isn't in the light pollution of New York City to get out sometimes and look at those planets. And it helps to look at the charts and feel it in our gut and feel it as it connects us to the world around us and to the universe around us. So, you can get something just by the conversation with it, just looking at it, taking it in.
Yeah.
Okay, so Jupiter is right next to Aldebaran.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And right next between he's on the and above him is Alcyone, Alcyone, and below him is Aldebaran. Both of them are nice big first Wachahoosie stars.
First magnitude.
Aldebaran's big. So he's sitting right next to them. So,
and that's beautiful.
Mm-hmm. And he's also near Vesta's and right nearby, too. She's on the same parallel as Aldebaran. So Jupiter and Vesta are kind of traveling near each other also. So, but that's who it was. That's who you saw.
Peaceful, but don't burn yourself out.
Hmm? Pardon?
I said being generous, be full, but don't burn yourselves out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's an abundant time. And it definitely has there's a lot of people that are really... in New York here, we still have people that are, one of my students, she doesn't have hot water or heat yet. She's got electricity, but it's like, and it's what, a couple of weeks now at this point, 3 weeks, almost a month. Mm-hmm. It'll be a month on the, it actually was a month on the full moon. So,
I think that we'll see on this next pass of Mercury square Neptune, and the Mercury square Neptune was strong at the time of Sandy, and the Mercury square Neptune, it squared Neptune, then it backed up, retrograded away from it, squared it again, then is now going forward and squaring it a third time. And I'm expecting to see some both resolution for the people that have been in trouble since Sandy and maybe some other new storm systems hitting elsewhere. Mm-hmm. We're hearing a lot already this week about the 20 inches of rain dumped on California.
Mm-hmm.
Another 5 inches due tonight or tomorrow.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. What's that going to be doing to the landslides and to the land system? And when Mercury squares Neptune, we're seeing this, even though it's moving forward and moving faster, it's still got this fuzziness and this completion of problems that have left us wondering, and quite literally, because something about our life was dissolved in the case of the Sandy survivors. But also, there may be some question in our life that we were either inspired about, confused, but can't really see how to manifest, or when we've been in our own little world about, because that can also, we build such a large inner dream world with that combination. We might be in our own little world about and begin to have some reality check on that,
mm-hmm.
or need to take it out of our own little world and start manifesting it as Mercury finishes the square to Neptune on the 16th.
Yeah, I think it's really an interesting, you know, with the all the planets running at the same numbers, too. You know, when that happens, they kind of amplify and echo across each other. So many of them hanging out in the early degrees, there's like this big cluster. And last week, of course, they were in that finger of God where they were able to swap, you know, with the moon as the apex, but with Mars and Pluto and Venus and Saturn. And then there's still a finger of God to Jupiter now. And when you have fingers of God, you face moments of time when, and they're in the heavens, that you face choices. You're at a crossroads, and the universe says, well, what is it you want to do? Where are you going? What's the choice? And sometimes you get pushed to make a choice. You know, I had a friend whose boyfriend quit, and he's a tough old guy, you know, and he cried on Friday because he was like, this is the best job I ever had, you know. And he's leaving for good reasons, you know, it's career advancement, yada, yada, but he was like, it was really leaving home, you know, for him.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a choice, you know, well made, well thought out, good reasons to go. But just that sentimental, that sense of, gee, I'm making a choice, that really is going to affect my life's direction. And we are, many of us are at crossroads in terms of what we want to do and where we're going. And Saturn in Scorpio always asks us to go deeper, to go into the deeper place, and not to be afraid to take the chance or the risk. And I think as he now heads into a really good working sextile with Pluto over this next couple weeks, we're really going to be feeling the two of them kind of working together, you know, as they're talking to each other. And Pluto-Saturn, when they're in a working, functional, good aspect, I mean, when they were fighting was the World Trade Center, but when they're cooperating and working together, they can actually get a great deal done. So I think that's an important thing to be looking at as that aspect kind of perfects over time. And then, of course, Venus and Mars are still sextile to each other, so they're cooperating too. So there's a lot of cooperation up there, even though on our personal level we may be feeling like, you know, I'm not feeling cooperated, I'm feeling tired, which is my whole thing. I sit down in a chair for 5 minutes and I fall asleep, you know. But,
I mean, I think, again, Neptune can do that to us. It wants to call us into dreamland so deeply. But also the, you know, Mars isn't kidding. And it conjunct Pluto last week and Venus conjunct Saturn. So we have got two sets of aspects asking us to take our own personal work seriously.
Right.
And there's a real... I don't expect to see Christmas parties be light and frivolous anytime this week. Now, when on, was it the 10th that Mercury goes into Sagittarius and the 16th when Venus goes into Sagittarius, it'll start feeling more festive. But this week, it really is get stuff done and make sure it's not busy work for other people or just busy work for other people.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure that you're investing in something that's really true to your soul's work.
Right.
And if you're not sure what that is, just take a step in that direction and commit to the search for your soul's work and see if you can move it farther along. Because I think this investment this week will be powerful.
Right, right. Well, and it's also helping others figure out what they're doing. You know, when there's this much turmoil, people kind of can feel a little overwhelmed, or coming out of the eclipse feel a little overwhelmed. And then just say, okay, ground it. You know, what actually is most important to you? Because usually we can nail the most important thing and say, well, this is. And it's like, okay, so go work on that. Really, that's all you have to do? Yep, go do that. And then we'll really make great strides with Mars out of bounds. So that part I'm looking forward to. Yeah. So it's good. It's cool. It's all
and
exciting.
So we do we have anybody on the call?
We do.
Like
we have a couple
number?
Callers on the line. We didn't take calls last week, so we will do it this week. So our phone number for those of you who would like to call in is 347-215-8881, 347-215-8881. And I've got 540 here. Let me see if I can. I haven't run the microphone in a while. Hi, 540. How are you? You're on the air.
Hello.
Help?
Hello, Hi. How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you?
This is Danielle. My birthday is 6/13/81.
Mm-hmm.
9:30 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
In Alton, Illinois. A-L-T-O-N.
Okay. And what's your question today, Danielle?
Well, help me out with all this psychic ability stuff that I hear all the talk about.
Mm-hmm.
And then last that I had a lot on my plate.
Yes. What is your specific question about psychic? Like, because the other side of psychic ability is being passive. And so it's not something that we can tell you about to do. It's more about how, finding ways of developing your own intuition. And, you know, you've got a lot, we said we've got a lot on your plate challenging you to find out, that find the difference between dream and imagination and empowerment and moving forward. So, you know, have you ever been part of, you know, an intuition development group or work with other people towards developing your, nurturing your intuition?
Not yet, but we do have those types of things here.
I think it would be really helpful for you to just have a group to practice with and to bounce ideas off and to let yourself kind of slowly sort through your own signals to see where is, because we all have trouble telling the difference between our intuition and our imagination. And especially the same aspects that help us develop our intuition also help us develop our imagination. And learning to tell the difference is one of the biggest tricks. And that's particularly strong with the Neptune transits that you're in the middle of and what a group can, a practice group can really help you with. Where you begin, you know, if you could start even just keeping a notebook when you get some kind of hit or some feeling. Notice how you feel it. Do you feel it in your body? Did it come to you in a dream? Write down the information, how you felt at the time, and then see what actually happens. And notice that sometimes when you feel things in your gut, it's right. Sometimes when you feel things in your shoulders, maybe it's not right. Maybe it's your fear speaking. We all need to learn to sort those out. And so I think that keeping a notebook and noticing and taking it seriously, but seriously with a grain of salt. So you take your intuition as an idea, and then you watch and see how that works. So you don't assume you're right, but you watch and see. If you get a hit that someone's not good, then you don't immediately go tell people they're not good, but you keep an eye on them, and you may catch them doing something that's not so good. Or you may learn that actually it just looked like your Uncle Fred who you hated. So it's a process of sorting that out. And that sort of objective pattern will really help you use the potential of your intuition.
Okay. What kind of good stuff do I
sense?
Have coming up? Yeah, it does.
Mm-hmm.
What kind of good things do I have coming up?
Anne?
Well, I think basically you're really working on finding a foundation for stuff. You got Saturn coming to your moon, which is very much about working with older things that happen when you're around 8 years old, when you're 8 1/4 years old, which is what, third grade, I think. So you're kind of going back through and clearing that energy out with Saturn through the fourth. It very much gives you a structural foundation. And it's also noticing the patterns of how you behave in groups and where those patterns are assisting you or not assisting you. Because part of what your chart's trying to get into or become aware of is the direction. And also it's a big time for developing hopes and dreams because Jupiter's up there in the 10th house going in the 11th house, which is the house of, well, what is it I really want? So if you think back to 2000 and to 88, back to 88 when you were 8 years old, and 2000, each of those years you had new dreams come in. So now is the time to really be working on kind of coming up with what the dream structure is for you. Mark, what do you see?
Yeah, you've both mentioned a lot with sorting out dreams and intuition and your inner sensibility to things. And that's very much what you're meant to be paying attention to now. And kind of throughout this next several months, you'll be looking at that along with how you relate to others. So the question of who you connect with is going to be important. So like Heather was mentioning, working with some groups about developing intuition. And what you're going to find is the sort of people who share the sensibility that you have. And as you find those folks that are really sort of on the same wavelength as you are, it'll be very exciting. And those will be people that you can share things with. And it'll become a lot of fun and mutual growth. So look for those opportunities.
Okay. Is there anything else I need to know?
Great. I think we've talked to you fairly recently, and I'd like to see if we can get some other people on the line tonight, because it's been a while since we've taken calls.
Okay. And we're
so
now.
So good luck.
Okay.
So we now move to 585-613-6646. Any questions for us?
Hello?
Hi, you're on the air. Hello? I guess not. I guess they're shy.
Okay, try the next one.
I have nobody else. That's it. We're good. We have the two, and that's who, unless somebody else calls in the next minute.
Call in and touch number one to raise your hand.
Right, 347-215-8881.
I wouldn't have hustled off the last person, and I'm sorry about that.
No.
But it's good to try to take this
Take a new one. Yeah. But, yeah, I think it also is when we're at this really big turning point, so people are kind of a little like, gee, I don't know that I want you to tell me anything, because what if you tell me something bad? Uh-huh. And, you know, when that happens, I mean, I periodically run into that. I don't know if you guys do, but, 585 stuck her hand up. Okay, we'll call on her again. Hi, 585, you put your hand up.
Hi, yes, I'm awake.
Hey,
how can we help you?
February 14th, 1951, 9:06 a.m., Chicago, Illinois. I just had the eclipse within just a couple degrees of my natal moon.
Mm-hmm.
Go on. And I'm really feeling it. That and the Mars-Jupiter conjunction up almost on my midheaven, but where it really showed up was at home. I mean, on my midheaven opposite my fourth house.
Right.
What can you tell me about?
But you also have Neptune coming up to square your moon, and your moon is the ruler of your fourth. And I think there's a lot dancing on your chart. So, you know, you said the eclipse, you really felt ringing you like a bell.
Yeah.
And you're such a sensitive sweetheart with that Jupiter, Venus, and Mars all conjunct in your 12th. How can we help you? What's your question?
Well, I'm looking for guidance how to use this eclipse energy.
It feels to me like you've really needed to sort your life. One of your issues is you get very scattered and distracted by other people you feel so much of what's going on around you. And that eclipse could you absorb so many of people's feelings and energies that it's a process now of sorting out what is your life's work or what do you have that you really want to do next in your life. And that sorting process seems to me the strongest point, where you're having to just let go of a lot of the holding on the threads of other people's lives. Let them keep track of it. You're always there to be helpful. But right now your focus is on your inner calling. That's what I'm seeing. How about you, Anne?
Yeah, I think I would go with that. And I also think that part of that 12th house, because it's so active right now, it would really pay attention a lot to the dream energy. And I ran into a book called Conscious Dreaming, which I really liked. It talks about, you know, where you actually just kind of follow the dreams and you really focus on things in the dreaming process. And I think, you know, doing some exercises like that where you really are able to connect in on a different level with what you're inner world is telling you. And on that note, the British lady says 10 seconds, so we're done. So long. It's the Excess Astrology Group. My name is Ann Ortley. Goodbye.
And good luck on that in California. This is Heather. Goodbye. Have a great week.
And
Mark.
Signing off from New York.
Yeah, and Mark and I are tomorrow at the Open Center. And Heather, you doing anything this week?
I have a class tomorrow night, Living Astrology, and I'll be in Santa Fe the 10th through the 18th of this month.
All right, cool.
Okay.
Very cool. Take care. Have a great week, folks. Talk to you next week. Bye-bye.
Bye.